The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of The Drive underway, and the Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by National RX, where I'll be tomorrow from 3 to 6, wrapping up this week of The Drive. Marcus?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, the Smoky Grays are coming back to Knoxville.
They're back.
The Smoky uniforms, which have not been seen since 2015, or first worn in 2015, but have not been seen since 2017, will be returning. They're going to have different, I guess they're going to change them up each season between this season all the way up to 2025. So we're going to see at least some alternates, maybe update it a little bit, change it up a little bit.
But for the first season,
it's going to be the
one. It's going to be the same ones that
we saw in 2017.
The Dobbs teams wore.
The one that the last time we wore it, we were obliterated by Georgia.
Yeah.
We are 3-1 wearing those jerseys.
Really?
Including the win versus Georgia in 2015, the win against Florida in 2016, watching that beautiful 15 striding down past.
Didn't we wear them for the bowl game against Nebraska when
Correct.
We beat them?
That was the other
one. So that was the third win. And then the one loss was
the Georgia.
And they shut us out here.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, Music City Bowl watch party. That was one of the. That was a. I still. What was that, like 6 years ago now?
That's a good time.
We had a blast that day.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see. I kind of hope they would maybe alter it a little bit heading into the season. If they were going to bring it back once I read that, but if it's just going to be the exact same, slightly disappointed, but I'm going to put money down. We're going to see them against Florida this year. That's when we're going to wear it. I would put money on that right now. If you're a betting man, look at me, who's never bet. Number two, Deshaun Watson, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, has officially been suspended for 11 games and fined for $5 million in a settlement with the NFL. Following the appeal by the NFL, the league and the NFL Player Association have reached a settlement on discipline for Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, and it will be 11 games and a $5 million fine. What's interesting about that is, do you know who they play in Week 13?
The week that he comes back?
Uh-huh.
Would imagine the Texans.
It is the Texans.
Wow.
He will be returning to play against the Texans. In a statement by Deshaun Watson, he said, "I'm grateful for the disciplinary process has ended and extremely appreciative of the tremendous support I have received throughout my short time with the Browns organization. I apologize once again for any pain this situation has caused. I take accountability for the decisions I made. My focus going forward is working to become the best version of myself on and off the field and support my teammates however possible while I'm away from the team." Another quote from him, though, that I saw on ESPN is that, "I'll continue to stand on my innocence. Just because you know settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty of anything," he said in the media today, actually. "I feel like a person has an opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that." So, like Bear said earlier, which is it? Are you sorry for what you've done?
He is doing a lot of talking out both sides of his mouth.
Right. Are you sorry for what you've done, or are you innocent? You can't have it both ways. And then at number three, Big Ten has agreed to a historic media rights contract reportedly worth at least $7 billion. They will be cashing in on these media rights with six different media outlets. The conference announced Thursday it's agreed to distribute agreements with CBS, Fox, NBC, and NBC Universal's Peacock, as well as returning partners Big Ten Network and FS1. That will begin on July 1st of 2023 and will run till the seasons 2029 and 2030.
So, $1 billion a year among 16 teams is something like $62 billion or $1 million, I think, per school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right there. So
they are,
and they left room to escalate that if the Big Ten adds more teams.
Right. There has been speculation whether Notre Dame was going to join the Big Ten, but it seems that they are going to continue to remain independent for now
because they're special.
Let's see how much they like it when it's the 3:30 games, like Purdue against, you know, another garbage team over there, like in Indiana, trying to get to six wins or something.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that did trigger me that tweet with the Big Ten with our damn music, the CBS music.
It didn't bother me, man, because it didn't hit the same, man. It looked like a cheap knockoff. Whatever. I'm glad the music sticks around. I mean, it's a cool song, but it's not the same.
What are we going to do with ABC?
Subpar football, man.
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe.
I wonder what the ABC music, I can't remember what it was back when we used to play on ABC before the CBS deal.
Could be interesting. Finally, at number four, Luke Knox, who is the brother of Dawson Knox, Buffalo Bills tight end. Unfortunately, he has passed away at the age of 22. He was formerly at Ole Miss, transferred to Florida International for a chance to be a hopeful starter for the Florida Atlantic team. Knox is a native of Brentwood, Tennessee, the younger brother of Dawson. There has not been any kind of announcement on what has happened. Obviously, this is horrible news for anyone just in general, especially when you are so young at 22 years old. Prayers out to both Knox family and his teammates and coaches that he had at both schools.
Yeah, it's tragic. No doubt. That's awful. Did they say what happened?
So far, they don't think it's any kind of foul play. He died late last night, but there has been nothing really said on anything yet. But it doesn't seem like it was foul play.
It's a shame. All right, thank you, Marcus. That's your top four at four again. Going to be at National Law Rex in Farragut tomorrow doing the thing from 3 till 6 p.m. Would love to see you out there. Swing by. Might have some more Smokies tickets for you. I think we've got about a dozen or so of those left. I need to get rid of those as the Smokies baseball season rapidly winding down. Our number, if you want to get on the show this afternoon, 865-546-8200. 546-8200 to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines on a day when the Smoky Gray uniforms have been announced back in Neyland Stadium. So you got two alternate uniforms now to work with. And you got the orange on orange. So, I mean, you get four different combos that you could see. Neyland Stadium. Houston has a good line here on Twitter. Butch Jones is going to take credit for this somehow.
It's critical.
It's critical. Butch.
I hate the orange on orange more than I hate the grays and black.
Do you hate the grays and black, or no. Do you just?
I'm okay. I mean, I do want them to fix the black one because I think they definitely need to have black helmets with the black jerseys. I don't mind them. Maybe it's because I'm a young man and I kind of enjoy alternate jerseys.
I think it's incredibly stupid to go with an all black uniform and black helmet before October. And
they
Knoxville.
Should, yeah, they should definitely save it. Like if I'm doing the all black jersey, I do that for Kentucky because that's October 29th, right around Halloween.
Notorious NIC says they should do a Summit blue uniform to celebrate the late, great Pat Summit.
Notorious NIC.
Oh, can what? He wants to see a Summit blue uniform.
He can see him in a women's basketball game.
Isn't that nice?
I definitely prefer the orange tops and the white britches.
I mean, you're dismissing his suggestion out of hand.
Yes.
There's a more tactful way to do that.
It's baby blue has never been a part of the Tennessee football uniform. Whatever that is, Summit blue, I guess. No, that's a stupid idea. Sorry, Notorious NIC. I like you. Enjoy your tweets. Bad idea. Don't give them any more ideas over there, buddy. We all know Danny No Nugs sits on twatter.
You kind of trailed off there, buddy. He's Danny No Nugs again. Now you are really rattled. The Smoky Gray uniforms are back and Bear's not speaking in complete sentences anymore. Banner Dan is back to Danny No Nugs. I mean, you are disheveled right now. Are you going to be okay? We got 2 hours to go here, bud.
I'm a little riled up, Russ.
You're rattled.
He's upset.
I thought that you know, the bot stuff was gone with bot. I don't like anything that reminds me of that moron.
But we won three games with those
jerseys. I don't care. You're garbage. We had one of the top three best looking uniforms in all of college football, and we just crapped on it, Marcus. Throughout our damn tradition.
He's shook, man. He's shook. I don't know if we're going to be able to get through this show with much coherent analysis from Bear. Cole on Twitter says, so one gray game and one black game. Gray for Florida.
That's what I think.
Black for Halloween. Kentucky. Is that on Halloween?
No, it's on the 29th, but that's the closest
that's
home game to the Halloween.
Yeah. I can get down with that.
And then just wear the orange top, white britches for every other game.
White pants. Why do you call them britches?
What's wrong with calling them
britches? That's a strange name, Marcus. White pants. Football trousers, not britches.
Do you need to step outside? Are you going to be all right?
I may need to go take a drive.
Yeah, just... Dude.
I'm fully triggered today.
Go out to the water cooler.
Notorious. Have a sip. Summit blew in the damn football. Yeah, it's idiotic.
Let's go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines and talk to TJ, the Kentucky fan. Good afternoon, TJ. You're on the drive.
Hey, is this the drive?
This is the drive.
I thought I was calling to Dr. Phil because I think Bear needs a therapist. Is he okay?
I'm fine. My finger's on the button, and I've got an itchy tie. I'm riled up, dude.
Please.
Just move along with your call.
Can we do the show?
He's engaging me, Russ.
He's asking you if you're okay. Just go out and have a drink of water.
I'm making sure you're okay.
Just do your gig, and what do you got for us, TJ?
Okay. Russell. So,
TJ.
You know, talking about your tweet the other day, I didn't call yesterday. I took the young buck out for some ice cream before school starts. Got some blizzards from Dairy Queen. Those are pretty solid. I haven't had one in a while.
I love the blizzard. Top five all-time dessert, an Oreo blizzard from Dairy Queen. Great.
Oh, it's so good. But I didn't have an issue with it. I think you get mad or thought it was funny that Stoops called out Shane Beamer, but I think Stoops, you know, we get mad at college football coaches during press conferences, and we always say, I wish they would just be honest. I'm tired of the coach speak. Well, Coach Stoops this year has not given coach speak. He came out and he said everything we did a few months ago about Shane Beamer, and I think it may have caught you off guard because it's an actual SEC coach slamming another SEC coach for a video that he made, and specifically saying, putting on your stupid sunglasses, anybody can do that. I thought it was hilarious, and I loved it, honestly.
I mean, that's fine, and I know that you guys have had their number and everything, but I'm just telling you, TJ, and this is, you know, you're close to it, you're passionate about it. From an outsider's perspective, looking at this dispassionately, I see a guy in Mark Stoops who feels underappreciated, who feels like he is probably plateaued at his current job. He knows that Kentucky football is not going to be a championship caliber program, and he's done a good job there. But I think he knows that they've kind of hit a ceiling there, and now he's got his basketball coach saying what we all know is true out in public, and he's kind of melting down over it. And I see a guy that is going to be looking to move at the next opportunity.
So, I'm not disagreeing with you. I would not be shocked if Mark Stoops went somewhere else to further his career. I agree with you on that. But the way his contract's set up, I mean, he wins 8 games, he gets $1 million and an extra year added on to his contract. My question to you is, if your money was on it, who would you pick to leave first, Stoops or Cal?
I mean, I think 6-1, half dozen the other. I mean, that's the problem for Kentucky right now is that everybody's upset up there. And that's not a good situation. And trust me, I know a dysfunctional athletics department when I see it because I've lived in Knoxville, Tennessee for the past 15 years. And Kentucky is dysfunctional right now. And I don't know how you rebuild those relationships if you're Mitch Barnhart, if you're Mark Stoops, if you're John Calipari. These guys are all type A alpha males. They don't forget. They don't forgive. And I think they're all three of them, their feelings are hurt right now. And, Calipari, there's no other college job that he would want. So I see him going to the NBA. And I see Mark Stoops going to his alma mater, Iowa, within 2 years.
I personally think if Coach Cal was going to go to the NBA, it would have been 2 years ago when the Lakers got LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I don't know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But, you know, your guess is as good as mine. But I will say we are less than 2 weeks away, and I cannot wait to break out the bowls of chili, the game day uniforms, the game day socks, all that stuff. And I can't wait to wake up on a Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and watch College Game Day with Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit again. Y'all have a good one, man.
Tradition like none other. Thank you, TJ. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, Kentucky in disarray. You hate to see it.
Do we
and
really?
By hate to see it, I mean you love to see it.
Oh, yeah. Has a calming effect on me.
And who are they going to get? When Mark Stoops tells them to take this job and shove it, who are they going to get?
Who are you going to get? Who you gonna get?
Derek Dooley's available.
I mean, Conzo, right?
Maybe Botch in a year or two. He has a little turnaround. He's ready for another crack at it. I'm ready to lead Kentucky football back to greatness, back to glory. I'm the second coming of Bear Bryant.
Maybe Gundy will flirt with him a little bit, so Oklahoma gives him another raise. Let them feel that pain a little bit, too.
You know, Butch Jones riding a racehorse into his press conference. I've always had great respect for the horse racing tradition and the fine people of Kentucky. Butch Jones, like, posing for pictures in a coal miner's helmet.
Boren Doran just turns them down.
Totally, yeah. Oh, man.
I want them to feel every pain of a coaching search that we've had to go through.
And who's going to follow Calipari there? I mean, you see what happens when – UMass fell off the map when he left. Memphis fell off the map when he left. And Kentucky is going to fall off the map when Calipari leaves. It's going to be beautiful. They're going to have a couple of 500 type seasons. They're going to go through a coach or two. They're going to run a guy out, be impatient. Oh, the meltdown. I can't wait.
I wonder, I think it's going to be a lot harder for them to replace Calipari than it is Stoops. I'm not that impressed with Stoops. I mean, you keep looking at their schedule and who it is they play, and you dig into the numbers of it, that Billy Stats and guys like Billy Stats and Matt Dixon and those guys that have way too much time on their hands will dig into stuff like that. I mean, they're, you know, just kind of a paper tiger. Paper wildcat, one might say, Russ.
Got him.
Did Billy Stats just catch a stray, too?
No.
Bears throwing shade at everyone today.
Those are my boys. Billy Stats, Matt Dix, those guys. They just, I mean, they're number crunchers. And they absolutely loathe Kentucky more than I do, which is surprising. I didn't think that was possible.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go, where we talk to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil.
What are you saying, Davey?
What's going on?
How are you, Bear Bryant and the Marcus Dunn?
Doing well, doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm upset Bear's getting abused today.
How's he getting abused?
Well, he's like me. I think it's a disgrace that we're wearing brick-by-brick jerseys and helmets.
Yeah, Russ. It's a disgrace.
So he's getting abused by Danny White for bringing back the Smokey Grace.
Well,
you guys are taking this personal.
I've been looking over that Vol Nation. I'm saying it again. Tennessee has the dumbest fan base in America if they like them gray uniforms.
Oh, come on, Phil. It's not about your generation, man. It's not about my generation. They're trying
to. It's about winning, and we're not winning. We're a pile of garbage.
Whoa, Phil. Come on now. Come on.
Enjoyed the last 20 years.
It's about appealing to younger generations, recruits like the alternate uniforms, the Nico Yama pajamas of the world love this stuff. And Josh Heupel.
Alabama don't wear none of them pajamas around.
They've worn some alternates.
Yeah, they might wear the white helmet, but they've worn that historically every once in a while.
They did that houndstooth thing where they've done it a few times.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we've done a lot more than they have.
I mean, Jeremy Pruitt went back to a traditional look. How did that work?
Yeah, Pruitt's great. You know,
look, I'm not a a alternate uniform guy either, man. If I had my druthers, it'd be your orange jerseys, white pants at home, and your white on the road, and that's it. But It ain't about me, man. They got me. They got you, Phil. They got Bear. We're going to watch no matter what. They're trying to recruit. They're trying to develop new fans, solicit new donations, and they've got a generation of fans, you know, that they pretty much lost out on because they've been putting subpar product out there on the field. And so is it going to work? I don't know, but they're trying to get creative on it.
Well, the basketball program hasn't really done too much of all that uniform garbage. Like Rick Barnes has one alternative uniform no time he's been here, right?
That's what the wild thing is. When it comes to the basketball uniforms, the Smokey Grays that they wore looked really cool. I like that.
One time when they beat Florida here in Knoxville, that's the only time they wore it. And Conzo wore that in the SC tournament when they got beat by Florida. That's the only times that we've done it.
You know, and then Rick brought back the throwback 70s, you know, the candy cane stripe.
Wait, so you guys do want the gray uniforms in basketball, just not in football?
No, I don't care about them in basketball. I mean, winners win, losers lose. I mean, that's just the way I look at it.
Our basketball uniforms are beautiful right now.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
You change your basketball uniforms.
Perfect.
And they got those double stripes to warm up, so, I mean, that's just Ray Mears would be smiling right now.
What do you think, Ray Mears?
I don't want no baby blue on a football uniform. Who's that dummy that texted you?
Whoa. That's big fan of the show, friend of the show, Notorious Nick. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion, guys. Come on now.
He can watch you go and watch UNC if he wants to see baby blue on a football field.
You guys are brutal. Just brutal.
We're just being realist, W. And all us, the South End Zone, I agree with that. You had your guest on there, Christopher Grable. That South End Zone looks like a toilet coming out. I mean, they need to why can't they at least paint it or something, make it look better?
Should we put the poll in the field right now, Smokey Grays? I mean, if we just say, like, do you like them or not?
People are going to like them. Majority of people like them.
Okay, that's
majority of people.
That's
cheap,
my point. And all. Well, come on now.
They like losing. We're conditioned to be losers is what we are now. We're like Kentucky football.
Phil. I can't.
Can't handle you, 2 weeks out.
They call our fans losers?
Bye-bye.
We're 3-1 in those jerseys. We beat Florida. We beat Florida for the first time in how long?
That had more to do with the fact that we had Jalen Hurd, Josh Dobbs, Alvin Kamara.
That's fine.
Juwan Jennings.
But the point is
Jalen Reeves-Maybin. Do I need to go on? It had nothing to do with the stupid uniforms. You don't understand how badly I associate everything about those uniforms with Butch Jones, Marcus.
You talked about.
I had started calming down.
Let him talk, man. Just chill.
Colin,
he raised his voice to me first.
I raised my voice to Phil. You brought up the point of how the record of the all orange jerseys and what that's like. Why can't I bring up the record for the gray jerseys?
I mean, I get why they have the alts. Like, you know, Terry Fair showed me the light on that. It's all about the kids. Rush has mentioned it. Understand it completely.
I don't think you do.
Yeah, I do. But I don't have to like it, and I don't. I would prefer that they wear orange and white.
If they beat Kentucky, or not Kentucky, if they beat Florida in those gray jerseys this year, they wore them against Bama and beat
them. Here's the thing about Bear and Phil's ilk. They would rather lose in the traditional uniforms than win in the smoky grays.
I can't even refute it.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, you're just right. Anything that has anything to do with Butch Jones is just, it's.
You don't want to win? That's not the main thing?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? What are we doing here? You want to win.
The guys on 3 and Out are talking about kissing if they win. You don't want to wear a jersey?
I mean, no.
You can't even speak straight. What are you doing? It's just cloth. It's just a color. There's still some orange on there, man. There's still a T on the side of the helmet. Good Lord, man. Get a hold of yourself.
I just don't see why we have to have alternate damn uniforms every week.
That's not every week.
It was last year.
What are you talking about? They did it.
I just want orange tops, white pants, man. That's all I want.
We don't.
I'm stuck by them through 20 years of crap for us.
We don't get what we want all the time, Bear. What are you, 6 years old? Roberto is next. What's up, Roberto?
We can't always get what we want.
It's right, true. Josh? Mick and Keith told us.
I mean, Okay. I'm going to ask you. I know where I want to go with this. I want to ask you correctly. Bear, would you rather have black on black like last year or the grays? And you can't choose neither. That's not an answer.
I mean, they look exactly like last year's looked with the white helmet, like they were just slapdash together.
Sure.
I'd probably go grays just because they have a more complete look about them. Design last year's look just marginally better than the Kiffin Rush job where we just came out there and basically black practice jerseys.
So you hated the black jerseys last year worse than you hate the gray jerseys from the Bush era. Is that true or untrue based on what you're saying?
You hate the black uniforms from last year worse than Butch's smoky grays.
It's just different because I thought that they shouldn't have rolled those out last year because it was rushed and it just didn't look right. I've never had a problem with black, but you can't roll out there half-assed with it.
I mean, the only reason they didn't have black helmets was because they were on a boat in China. Stuck. That's true. So I don't think they half-assed it. They've been working on that for years. Personally, and this is, I don't care about what jerseys they wear. I'm in Russ's camp. I've come full circle on that. I used to be that guy, too, and that's fine. But I think the orange on orange with white helmets is the ugliest look we have.
Agree.
It's awful.
What if they got an orange helmet to kind of complete the look there?
It's awful. No, that'd be even worse. I just think orange on orange is terrible. I really do. I think it's an awful look. So I'm all with Bear on this. Now, for the white jerseys, I'm down with orange pants. And for their orange jerseys, only white pants. But I don't know. And the irony is, our stormtrooper look, our white on white on white on white, is one of the slickest looks in college football, period.
Once again, agree.
So we're out here talking about jerseys 2 weeks before the season. The truth is, Tennessee needs to win. Phil's right about that. But if those kids play harder because their jerseys look a certain way, or less, but we've got to win, and he's right about that part, but I don't think those jerseys cost us wins. You know, and guys, I mean, I'm not coming at Phil and I'm not coming at Bear because they can be whatever they want. But to say that and then the same breath talk about the basketball team and saying that they look great in that and it's okay to, for them to do, I mean, why is it okay for them to do that?
Well, Phil didn't say that. I said the Smoky Grays look good.
He said he liked the two-tone pants. He said he was fine with all that.
He liked the candy stripe pants.
The throwback.
Anything that's kind of like throwback or has
like from the 70s.
Reeks of tradition, oldness, or history, Phil is in favor of.
What if they throw the Summit Blue on the unis this year for the men's basketball team? How are y'all going to feel about that?
For the basketball, I don't care because that's a throwback to the Ernie Burney years. That's actually where it started. It didn't start with Lady Vols. It started with Ray Mears.
I understand.
But it has absolutely zero business being on a UT football uniform. Zero.
Oh, God, I think that would be terrible.
No, what will you do? What will you do, Bear?
I won't do anything. I mean, what the hell am I supposed to do? I'm just going to, you know,
you can
scream in the clouds.
Like the rest of us.
You can go on a nature hike. You can do something. No. You can make your voice heard.
I'm not going to sit here and lie to all our listeners and act like I'm going on some damn imaginary hike when I'm really sitting in my basement, Ross, watching the game intently, throwing Nalgene bottles at the walls, teaching my children horrendous cuss words. I'm not going to be that guy, Russ.
Hey, Russ, before you have to go to break and you have to jump off, I really do want to address something really quick about Chris Doering. Is there any guy that has ridden the coattails of playing for two great quarterbacks to an all-SEC performance, three SEC titles, and a pro career on television more than that guy did? What a clown. I cannot believe he picked Kentucky to go 11-1. And the only reason he picked them to lose to Tennessee was that, or excuse me, to go 11-1 and ironically to lose to Tennessee was because we beat them like a drum for four decades. And I think it's because he wants to draw attention to the fact that he has that catch against Kentucky. Do you remember this, guys? Do you remember this?
No.
His senior year, he had this huge catch against Kentucky and they won on like a last second play. I remember it. I remember the score. It was 24-20. And I guarantee that's what he's banking on some schmuck like me knowing that and then making it public. I guarantee that's what that clown's doing. He's taking too many headshots across the middle against Tennessee's vaunted defense. See ya. Wow.
Roberto.
Wow.
Just taking Chris Doering for a ride.
He just walked up to him, slapped him across the damn face.
We'll allow it.
Go Gator.
I do remember the catch he's talking about.
Vaguely remember. It was the Spurrier era, right?
Yeah. That was bad. That one, and then the infamous, was it LSU? You remember that one? Where their fans were rushing the field. They thought they'd upset LSU.
Yeah.
Was it Rohan?
Devery Henderson it wasn't Rohan. Was it Marcus Randall to Devery Henderson?
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was absolutely hysterical.
Their fans don't even know it's happened. They're trying to tear down the goalpost. Meanwhile, LSU's celebrating. They just went on a Hail Mary at Kroger Field. Matt is next. Good afternoon, Matt.
What's going on? I would like to cast a vote in the Bear Phil camp. If you look at the top 10, I don't think any of those teams change their uniforms. And the teams that usually do change their uniforms, besides Oregon, they're obviously an outlier. They usually are just kind of middle of the road. So I'm going to show my support for Bear.
Appreciate it, Matt.
You should wear orange and white.
Derek Dooley noted, we will forward the audio of this call to Danny White and let him know that you disagree, Matt.
Well, it's not about disagreeing and not to get on the porch, but when I turn on to know who's playing, I don't need to say, oh, Tennessee's got their gray or whatever that horrible uniform is. Just wear orange and white, and I know as soon as I turn it on who I'm watching.
See, I kind of lean towards your guys' camp, too, although I'm not as tore up about it. Like Oregon, I know CG said this, I kind of like what they've done because, to me, they don't have the tradition that Tennessee or Penn State or Alabama or Michigan or some of those teams have. Like, they don't have a storied football tradition. And they used the uniform thing to create a brand. Their brand is that they're the crazy uniform, Nike school. And, like, I kind of like that. But if you're going to try to copy that, like, you can't copy that at Tennessee. You might be able to copy that at like Maryland or somewhere like that, but you're not going to be able to do that at Tennessee because people already have an idea in their head of what Tennessee football is. And if you just completely turn your back on that,
on your brand,
that's a problem, man. I don't think that ends well.
I mean, I agree with most everything you say, but I'll still say there was something about the original Oregon uniform that was really damn cool.
I don't even like know what green jerseys, yellow pants, right?
Yeah, with Donald Duck on the helmet. It was hysterical looking. I just always liked it. It's a classic uniform. They've worn it actually once or twice. I think they wore it once last year. No, nobody else in the country can do that because nobody else has the relationship with Nike like Oregon does. I mean, they're beyond a Jumpman school. I mean, I think Phil Knight just sends them stuff whenever they want it. What do they have, like hundreds of different combinations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they wear something different every week.
Yeah.
That's their thing. Anything else, Matt?
No, that's pretty much it. I do have one question, if y'all have a quick second.
Sure.
If we go 9-3 this year in the regular season, but we lose to Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, those are the three losses, is that still a successful season?
Yes, I think so.
Say that again, 9-4?
9-3, we lose to Florida, Georgia, Alabama, yeah. Which means we beat Pitt and LSU.
Oh, it's a great season.
Yeah.
It's the best season we've had in 15 years.
Yeah. Be a little disappointed that we did. It depends. The only thing I'll say,
Losing to Florida will suck.
Yeah, but, especially in that guy's first year, and this is our year to get up on them.
But just 9 regular season wins, we haven't done that since 2007. Yeah.
I mean, our schedule's not like Kentucky's where we got a built-in like 8 or 9 wins.
It's a great accomplishment. I do agree. I don't think it's – I don't want to sound negative and say it's not a successful season, but I just think at some point if we're going to get over that hump and get back to where we were, we've got to start beating those three teams. And you got to at least beat one of those three this year. That's my goal. One of those three, and it should be Florida.
I don't disagree with you. Great call, Matt.
Good stuff, Matt. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. More of your phone calls coming up. The docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys. Soccer star Robert Lewandowski had his watch worth around $71,000 stolen when he stopped for supporters on his way to Barcelona training yesterday. Police tracked down and detained the thief who had buried the watch nearby.
I've got a... Why would you... I mean, if you're that rich, that seems silly to wear something on your wrist that could get you killed.
Yeah. $70,000 seems extreme. I like watches. I've never had one worth over like $1,000. Like I would love to have like a Rolex or like.
I've always wanted a stainless steel Rolex.
Oh yeah, man.
Not anything gaudy or gold or anything like that. I wanted like. Stainless steel.
Oh, yeah.
That weight. I like those.
What a waste of money.
It is. What are those, like $5,000 or $6,000?
$71,000, man.
So you were saying that you wouldn't wear something that could get yourself killed. Do you not trust the citizens of Barcelona to not try to steal a watch from someone just randomly?
No. I mean, you're walking around with a $70,000 watch on your wrist, you're getting a good chance to get mugged for it.
As Lewandowski is posing for photographs with fans outside his car, the thief opened the passenger door and swiped the watch.
Oh. That's
a bold move.
It wasn't on his arm. What an idiot. What, did he leave his car unlocked with a $70,000 watch laying in the seat?
I don't know. I don't really understand exactly what happened there. But anyway, Lewandowski attempted to chase him, but he got away. That's not a good sign for Barcelona.
No, it's not.
A thief can outrun your star striker? Barca have had problems with security at the entrance to their training ground before, with players complaining about the stunts pulled by people making videos for TikTok. So these TikTok guys like to go and hang out at the gate and try and get a picture of themselves with Messi or something before They drive into work. It's kind of like what happens here outside the Fan Run parking lot. Typically, I'll be pulling in, and lots of paparazzi and women and whatnot out there trying to get a glimpse of me as I'm on my way into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. I can empathize.
Yeah, I try to slip through. They just push me out of the way.
Sometimes I'm trying to sneak in the back door, but there's always people out there too. Really need to amp up security around here. Just saying.
We got you tickled just a second ago about TikTok.
Me?
Yeah.
I just think it's funny. Like, just
TikTok?
No, it's just the idea of people just specifically for TikTok going out there to just take videos with people. Like, it's just take a photo, get an autograph, walk away, let them be. There's some people who try to purposely say, hey, can I take a photo and make it a video because they think it's funny, I guess.
Do what now?
I've seen videos of people who like will meet a celebrity and be like, hey, can I take a photo? And they start to do it, but they're purposely taking a video just for, like, I guess the humor of, let's see when the celebrity finds out it's not a photo.
Hilarious.
Like, that stuff's, like, it's cringe.
I don't really understand.
Believe me, I wish I understood too.
Folks, that's The Doc, and it's brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys. And they remind you, if you've been injured in an automobile or on-the-job accident, don't let your settlement add insult to injury. Fox and Farmer have more than 100 years of combined experience helping East Tennesseans just like you get the settlements they deserve. You know, many people are intimidated by large insurance companies. They don't know their rights. They think it'll cost a fortune to fight their case out in court. But at Fox and Farmer, they believe in making sure even the little guy has a big voice, and they're going to stand up to anybody to protect you and make sure you're treated fairly. Remember, at Fox and Farmer, they don't get paid unless you do. So call today for a free consultation, 865-531-9400. That's 531-9400. Online at foxandfarmer.com. That's Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys. Back to the busy, busy phone lines we go, where Jamie is next. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Always loved Christopher Gabriel, man. Such a good interview with that guy. Love having him on as much as you do. Got no problems. Good guy. What's his affiliation with UT out there on the West Coast?
So Christopher's from Chicago.
Okay.
And just a really interesting guy, man. He was an actor for a while, trained theater actor, and got into radio, I think, in maybe his 30s or something like that. Don't want to speak too much for him here, but he's worked in a couple of different markets. He's lived in Philly and New York and did radio in Fargo for a while. Was it Fargo or it was somewhere in Minnesota?
Yeah, it was Fargo.
Is there a Fargo, Minnesota?
No, that was in North Dakota. Dakota. He was in North Dakota.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fargo.
And then he and now he's in Fresno, but he's just a huge Tennessee fan. I think he had some family ties here. Twitter? Do what?
Did you just find him on Twitter or something? How did y'all?
Oh, it's a Trey Wallace. It's a
Trey
special.
Wallace special, yeah.
Trey's like, hey, really? let's have this guy on the show. And I will admit, ooh, I was kind of like, why are we having some dude from Fresno on the show? And I was like, okay, whatever, Trey. We have this guy on, and he's just so energetic. And people immediately, like the first time we had him on, like got so much interaction from the audience. People loved him. And what, this is like 3 years ago, right, Bear? I mean,
it's been a minute.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, props to Trey. A little house cleaning, Bear. It wasn't Rich Barnes that brought back the candy striper pants. That'd be your boy Bruce Pearl that did that, brought back the tradition of
Jamie's keeping it 100 with you, Bear.
Gotta keep it 100.
It's been a minute since you were able to call in and slobber all over Coach Pearl.
Since yesterday. let's see. Yeah, that was, I've gotten to some arguments, believe it or not, me on Twitter with these idiots claiming that you have to have the 50-yard line has to be showing through the midfield emblem, and I'll take screenshots of other football games, like at Western Michigan, where, you know, or any field that's artificial turf where it's not, and put it on Twitter. Like, you, it's you're wrong. You don't have to have the stupid line of the field through the, you know, take the time and paint it out.
We don't have that anymore, do we?
Yeah, we do.
We do? The line shows through the middle of the tee?
Yes. It's lazy. Look, don't run the line at all. You know, put the power tee up first, then, and then run the line.
Then
up
stop
to
the
it
line.
If you can't cover it. Yeah. You know, we were talking about you and Bear were talking the other day about the end zone traditions. Russ, you brought up those awful single bar helmets tilted, circa 87 Joey Klinskel there, in the corners of the end zone, just trying to find something to put in your end zone. I was like, that is just all, that's a punter's or kicker's face mask out there. But I think the they had it right there towards the end of the artificial turf era when they had the checkerboards with the orange boundary around it.
I'm with you there. That was great. And they said something about when they went back to natural grass in 94, I remember somebody asked, I don't know who they asked about it. Maybe it was Doug Dickey or somebody, but the company line was that it was like an NCAA rule that you couldn't have color that close to the goal. It makes no sense. Like, I can't imagine if we painted that orange border again that, like, anybody's going to raise a stink over it. But
they lie when the truth would sound better sometimes over there. Remember, we're still waiting on that crane to get to get Butch's picture down.
Yep, that was your boy Battle Captain telling me that we had to wait on a crane that never did need. But there's like I said, with the screenshots of midfield, you can turn on the TV on Saturday and find half a dozen football stadiums where the end zones are painted blocked out.
Well,
with the team color.
Yeah, I guess we'll see this year. But like at LSU, that line doesn't go through the tiger eye in the midfield, does it?
I'm not sure if it does. It's so weird. It seems like the teams that have the artificial turf have less problem with it because they don't have to run a line to it. But even with teams with regular grass, you know, natural grass like us, it just seems like it's lazy, man. And, you know, you see some green coming through the orange, and I'm like, I get it. But this isn't Carson Newman, man. We're Tennessee. Paint it. You know, if you got to paint it three or four times, paint it three or four times. I mean, we've got money to throw away on $8 million buyouts. What did we pay Steele to coach over, to sit over and watch soap operas for a month and a half?
$900,000.
Okay, so we can paint the damn end zone. Get off my back about that. you got to forgive me. I feel like I'm on the porch, and this sciatica driving a man crazy. But I think you were a little rough on the mayor, Russ, and I'll say this before I get the back of the commode reach. It's like the other caller right before the break. It just seems like the teams that it's winning that recruits are drawn to, you know. I just don't. And it's not like we have the most iconic, you know, unique uniform in college freaking football, man. Our color is so cool to drown it out, you know, with a black or a gray. It's just. I just have never understood it. I mean, think about all the other teams that we play that are just regular old blue and white, gray, you know, red and black. Just the 15 other schools have. No one has our school colors. Nobody. I mean, can anybody tell me another school across the board there on the panel? Who else wears orange and white? I mean, nobody. I've never... But also this, Russ, you said the traditional white-on-white on the road is cool. I dig it. I prefer white-on-orange, man.
You want them orange britches.
Yeah, just because it certainly it drags me back to Notre Dame 91.
I feel you, man. Jamie, we got to run.
Y'all hang in there.
Thank you. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up.